Congregation, let us open the Word of God and read from the prophecies of Hosea, chapter 1. The scripture reading this evening is Hosea, chapter 1. And there we read the Word of God. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, and children of whoredoms. For the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, Call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, Call her name Loruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Loruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, Call his name Loami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. So far, the reading of God's Word, the text for the sermon this evening, is formed by the last words of verse 11, For great shall be the day of Jezreel. So far. Beloved congregation, Hosea 1, verse 11, the last words, For great shall be the day of Jezreel. We wish to meditate upon this, and we see here God's great salvation. And this salvation is for Israel, for the church, and for sinners, ourselves. God's great salvation, this salvation is for Israel, for the church, and for sinners, ourselves. Congregation, the name Hosea means salvation. It's from the same Hebrew verb as Yeshua or Jesus. That means salvation. And the prophet Hosea preached in the midst of Israel during a period of great spiritual declension. These days were characterized by what we read in verse 2, the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. And what does that mean? That means they followed the idols. What we heard this morning from Judges 6, and repeatedly you find in the book of Judges. But sad to say, we find in the book of Kings, we find it in the prophets, throughout the Old Testament, that the people of Israel worshipped idols. They were continually accommodating to the culture in which they lived. And so they committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. And isn't that what is always the danger in the midst of Israel, that they wish to accommodate? And so the Lord saw and realized that the nation, saw that the nation had become unfaithful. And the Lord called Israel his wife. He was married to Israel. He had entered into a covenant with Israel. And now Israel was whoring away, was worshiping idols, was seeking other women, or other men, I should say, if God is the bridegroom and Israel was then the bride. This bride became unfaithful. And so the prophet Hosea had to picture this. And he did that by marrying an adulterous wife. And the prophet experienced much misery in this marriage. He really loved his wife and did much for her. He loved his wife dearly. And this was all an example of the relationship between the Lord and the people of Israel. They had become unfaithful to the Lord. And in spite of the fact that the Lord had said, your maker is your husband, and that God had entered into a covenant with his people, and in spite of the fact that the Lord had promised to do everything that was good for them, and in spite of the fact that the Lord had adopted them through his covenant, they departed from the Lord. And what a blessing this evening. We could also see how the covenant of God is established also in our midst and is carried through the upcoming generation. It's a mighty call to look unto God and to live with him. And so the Lord has established his covenant with us. The Hebrew word for covenant means actually obligation. That's astounding, isn't it? The word covenant in Hebrew means obligation. That's how strong God's covenant is. He took upon himself the obligation to care for Israel. And that's how strong the Lord views his covenant. That's why we sing, God remembers his covenant. Do we remember his covenant? God obliges himself out of sheer mercy to be a covenant-keeping God for us and our children. And what's so terrible, that people don't believe that. They don't believe God. Just like the people of Israel of old, they didn't believe him. And they went after the idols. And how many covenant children are there now who don't believe what the Lord speaks to them? Parents who don't really give any more attention to the baptism of their children. It's unbelief. But from God's side, he calls it an obligation. You see how strong it is to plead upon the covenant. Not that the covenant as such will save us. That's not the issue. But the issue is that God reveals himself as a God who is able and willing to save to the uttermost. God obliges himself when covenant children call unto him that he will take care of the needy, that he will save those who are lost, who cry out unto him for salvation. And that's why it says that it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Israel had this rich privilege. The Lord had not dealt with the other nations. And how did they respond? They were indifferent. Indifferent. And now the intention of the prophecies of Hosea is to let the people Israel understand what they're actually doing. They could see Hosea's marriage, miserable marriage, as a picture of their relationship to the Lord. And so the prophet Hosea actually explains to us the message of God's unfathomable love. God loved his people. He offered them his love in the covenant. And how did Israel react? Did they repent? No, they hardened themselves. And therefore the prophet has to issue now judgments, because God remembers his covenant, but he also remembers the curses of the covenant if the people would reject such overtures and such offers of love. And so the Lord says to Hosea that he has to address the people with the name Lo Ruhama. And that means you are no longer under my compassionate care. And then the prophet also has to address the people with the name Lo Ami. Lo means no, not. And Ami means my people. You are no longer my people. And that's exactly what happened. Enemies came into the country, and the 10 tribes of Israel were scattered abroad among the nations, and they never returned. The population was either killed or brought into exile, and it was the end of the 10 tribes. You are no longer my people. You are no longer under my care, because I've sent you the prophets late and early, and you have rejected them. It seems now as if the end has come upon Israel. We read all this specifically in verse 5. And there the Lord says that he will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. The valley of Jezreel, that was the place where the military conflicts would be battled. That's where the enemy would come and battle against Israel. And the Lord is saying that there he will break the bow of Israel. He will break the military strength of Israel so that they could no longer defend themselves. And this would happen in the valley of Jezreel, the valley where Barak and defeated Sisera in Judges 4. And in Judges 6, that's where Gideon defeated Midian. It was here in the valley of Jezreel that King Josiah was killed in the battle against Pharaoh Necho in 2 Kings 23, verse 29. In this same valley of Jezreel, Israel would lose the battle against the invading enemies. Actually, the name Jezreel means seed of God, because it was a great plain. It was the breadbasket of Israel. That's where wheat would grow. Seed of God. But Israel was also the seed of God. And now this seed would be scattered among the heathen nations. Is God now finished with Israel? And then you see the amazing reality that in spite of all their sins, and even in spite of the judgments, and in spite of the fact that they are sent into exile, and in spite of all these calamities, and in spite of the fact that it seems that the end has come upon Israel, we see the amazing and surprising love of God in the verses 10 through 11. What a great contrast. Yet, the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. And then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land. That's the land of exile. For great shall be the day of Jezreel. Even if they were lo ami, and even if the Lord had said, lo ruchama, you will no longer be under my compassionate care. And even though they were split up into two nations, the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes, they will be gathered together. And verse 11 says, they shall appoint themselves one head. And they shall come up out of the land of exile. For great shall be the day of Jezreel. And then this is a great promise of blessing, of salvation, of remission of all their sins, that God out of sheer mercy will gather the people of Israel and again show mercy upon them. They shall again be the seed of God. And this seed will be the beginning of a great harvest. It will be a worldwide harvest. And it will start with the people of Israel. Now, when did this happen? When was this fulfilled? Who will implement this great salvation? It will be done by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the way to the Father, and there is salvation in no other name. God's salvation lies only in Christ. And then we think of the coming of the Lord Jesus into this world. This was the beginning of redemption when the Lord Jesus came into this world, but nobody paid attention. The people of Israel, that seed of God, was covered by clods of earth, of deep darkness, legalism, superstition. Israel did not accept their Messiah. They rejected him. They crucified him. And yet, the Lord caused Christ to arise from the dead. The day of God's redemption, the day of Jezreel, was at hand. And the disciples, who were first all in gloom, were filled with great joy and gladness. But more needed to happen. God's compassionate care would again come upon Israel. And the Spirit came upon the people of Israel through these 12 disciples and the 120 who were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And they were filled with the love of God. And they prophesied and spoke of God's great deeds of salvation. These were Jews who had been led back. And they speak of God's rich salvation. And it was the beginning of a great harvest. The beginning of God's great salvation. And so when the Spirit is poured out upon Peter, he testifies as never before. And then we see thousands of Jews who were literally scattered throughout all nations of the earth, who had come up to Israel, to Jerusalem, that they were converted. And then they went back after that to their own nations. And that's how we think also the church at Rome was established, by Jews who had been in Jerusalem, who came back to Rome, and there a Christian church was established. They hear the great deeds of God, all these various Jews in their own languages. And on this first day, 3,000 Israelites were converted. It was a great day of salvation. After that, Israel had rejected their Messiah, had crucified him. The Lord still showed compassion upon this people who had deserved never more to be his people. They had rejected his love. We would think it's final, it's over and out. But then it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Men who had cast out the Lord Jesus adopted as children of the living God. And this was the beginning of a worldwide harvest. And that worldwide harvest is carried on also among the people of Israel. Throughout the centuries, there were always among the people of Israel that some of the Jews were converted. And we still expect with the Puritans, and above all with God's Word and the many testimonies in God's Word, that there will still be a great awakening and revival among the people of Israel, that they will be converted. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3, that there is now a covering upon their faces, but that covering shall be removed, and that Israel shall behold the one whom they have pierced, and they shall grieve. And there will be a great repentance and a revival in the conversion of Israel. And then again, the words of our text will be fulfilled. For great shall be the day of Jezreel. And so we may have hope for days of revival. For if they were rejected, and their rejection meant that the gospel would go to the Gentiles, if these Jews will be accepted, what will it mean otherwise than life instead of death? And so the Puritans, based on these verses, hoped for a revival. And that in spite of the wickedness that is prevailing in our world, in our culture, at the same time we may have hope that the church will grow and that there will be revivals. When Ayatollah Khomeini took over in 79 in Iran, there were 60 known Christians. There are now close to 1 million. And millions in Iran are watching Christian broadcasts from the West. There's a revival going on now among Muslim nations, never reported in the news. The church in Algeria is growing as never before. Let us have hope that the day of Jezreel will be fulfilled. It's salvation for Israel, but it's also salvation for the church. Because the Lord always had the nations in perspective. When the Lord Jesus was born, who came to visit him? Shepherds. But also wise men from the east. They were Gentiles, and they came and they worshipped the King of Israel. And ever since the day of Pentecost, heathens were drawn in large numbers. For now the gospel of Christ will be proclaimed throughout multitude of nations. People from all tribes, languages, and nations will come to conversion, and then that great day of God's salvation is being implemented now in our day and age. For great shall be the day of Jezreel. These verses from Hosea 1 refer to the nations being brought in, because the apostle Paul quotes exactly these verses in Romans 9 when he speaks about the conversion of Israel, and he speaks then about the conversion of the Gentiles. He says there, he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. And Paul is speaking here about the Gentiles. They were going to be drawn to the people of God. They will be included in God's church. And that is a glorious salvation. First, they did not belong to the church of God. They were not his people. They were not under God's compassionate care. and now they are drawn in. It started at the day of Pentecost. And repeatedly these words have been fulfilled. Wherever the gospel came, wherever cannibals were converted, wherever wildest nations were converted, it was a fulfillment of these words, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. And the church may sing, this is the day of full salvation that God has made and sanctified. Come, let us voice a jubilation and triumph in the grace supplied. It was a great day. And His work is continuing. Why, we may say, O Jehovah, we implore Thee, save now Thy people, even today. Prosperity send Thou in mercy, in faith, and favor us upon our way. And then we can look to the future. And then we see in the future that day coming in which all the dead will be raised, when all God's people will be resurrected, and then the church will arise, all with a glorified body, and then again these words will be fulfilled, for great shall be that day, the day of Jezreel. Then God will create finally a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And then God's people shall no longer remember the former things. All things will be made new, glorious, because God has a better future in store for all those who love Him and expect Him. And now the church may go through struggles and strife. Now the church may go through hardships. But His kingdom will last forever, and the day of full redemption is drawing nigh. That great day of Jezreel is still drawing nigh. That day will be so great, because then the church will have one head. They learn to have Him as their head here on earth. Israel will be gathered under this one head, and the church will be gathered under this one head, and Israel and the church will be joined together under this one head, and that head will be Christ. He will be King forever. And in this life here on earth, God's children are under His guidance. And they will be under His guidance till the end of their days here on earth, until the end of this world. And that's why God's people are glorious, not in themselves, but in their head. And that's why the church is glorious, because the church has a glorious head. The glory of God dwells in the church, because God gave the Lord Jesus to be head over all things to the church, Ephesians 1 verse 22. And He will lead all things to the good of His people. All strength flows forth from this head. That's why His church will be sustained, and His church will be strengthened, and His church here on earth cannot be overthrown, and His church will last until the final day of this earth. And let it be our prayer that our congregation, our church, would remain until that final day when the Lord Jesus will return. And that's all because of the head of the church, because He is all powerful. He is all glorious. He knows how to deliver and how to redeem. He can save out of the greatest need. Strength flows from this heavenly head. Unction flows from Him. His Spirit is poured out from Him. He continually grants gifts to His church. He will protect His church. Even if the members of the church would go through persecution, even if they would go through storms, would go through afflictions, the head of the church is above these afflictions. And if the head is above water, then the body is safe. And the Lord is the head, and he is continually at work adding people to his church and granting them his loving kindness and his care. For he says in Ezekiel 34, verse 16, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. And that started immediately after Pentecost. In Acts 2, 3,000 souls saved. In Acts 4, the number increased to 5,000. In Acts 5, verse 14, believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Acts 6, verse 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And after that, the gospel went out to the four corners of the earth. And the estimates are that after the apostolic period, there were already 1 million believers. For great shall be the day of Jezreel. That's God's free mercy, his sovereign love, his invincible power that gives salvation to his church. And that's why he alone must be our expectation for our congregation in the future. That's why it's so good to have a prayer meeting, even on a Wednesday evening here in the month of July. Come together to pray for that great day of Jezreel in our midst. We need the Lord. And especially in our personal lives. For when we read these things, we are no spectators. We are involved in this. This great day of Jezreel is something we need to experience personally in our lives. There needs to be a change in our life, a birth through the power of the Holy Spirit. We read that in the form for baptism. And Christian and Ezekiel have both been baptized, but they need to be born again. They need to know the day of Jezreel in their lives. And so must their siblings and us as parents. There needs to be a change in our lives. A great day, the best day of our life, the day when the Lord looked upon you in compassion and with mercy. Do you know of such a day in your life? And then I do not mean to say that you need to point out a specific day or a specific moment in life. Many of God's children cannot point to a specific day. But yet the matter is present. That day of Jezreel is still present, for they have received a change in their life. They're not what they used to be. There is in their life a longing for the Lord, a desire to know him. There is in their life a godly sorrow because of sin. There is a hunger and thirst after righteousness. There is a heartfelt faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a continual fleeing to him, a looking unto him. And whether this all came to pass abruptly, or whether it came slowly, the issue is, has this change, has this great day of Jezreel happened in your life? Do you know of God's peace in your heart and soul? For by nature, we have an adulterous heart. By nature, we are just like the people in the days of Judges 6. We're just like the people here in the days of Hosea chapter 1. And that's the greatest challenge for God's people throughout the centuries, to accommodate to the culture in which they live, to accommodate to unbiblical views on the practice of homosexuality, or to accommodate to worldliness, or to accommodate to easy believism. But what we need is salvation. What we need is that great day of Jezreel in our lives. Have you learned to long after the grace of God? Have you learned to thirst for His salvation? God is a God of salvation, and we must be saved. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to own much in life, but you must be saved. You need this great day of Jezreel in your life. Repeatedly we find that in God's Word. Abraham was led out of Ur of the Chaldeans. It was salvation for him. Israel was led out of the house of bondage. It was salvation for them. And the children of Israel were led out of the wilderness into the promised land. And there the Lord reestablished His covenant with them. And when the Lord sent His people into exile after some time, He brought Judah back. And then Judah did not want to worship the idols anymore. It was salvation. And Paul was saved from his self-righteousness and legalism. And sinners are saved and redeemed from the power of Satan and the dominion of sin. And all this is the recurring event. Great shall be the day of Jezreel. All throughout God's Word you read of people convicted of sin. It started on the day of Pentecost. Brethren, what must we do to be saved? And the Apostle Peter, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The day of Jezreel, then the Lord shows a person that he is still living outside of Christ, that he is not reconciled to God, that he is living without God. And then one sees he cannot live on like that. Then one sees that he has left God standing at the fringes of his life. And if you are like that, then today this service, this baptismal service in which you saw the visible sign of His grace and salvation, this service is a call to you that that great day of Jezreel must be a reality for you. These words of Hosea are actually again an implicit call to repentance. Do you still belong to the people who care not for God and for His laws? Christ must become your head. That great day of salvation must take place in your life. Are you ever concerned about that? Do you ever think about that? How many sermons have you heard? How long have you been in church? What have you done with all these sermons? How brief is your life still? How many years or months or weeks do you still have to go? Are you prepared? Are you ready? Has the Lord Jesus become your Savior? He breaks sinners down and He makes room in their hearts for Himself. And then you long for Him. And when you know of these dealings of the Lord in your heart, and you know of the workings of God's Spirit in your soul, then what do you need? You need the reoccurrence of that great day of Jezreel. Because how often is it not that a child of God is led astray, and that he again is bogged down in the swamp of sins and self-love and self-pity. And that again sin has the upper hand. And what does he need? He needs again to be delivered. He needs again to know renewed repentance. And then the Lord must teach you to persevere. And there's so much the Lord can give you, for that day of Jezreel, that day of salvation, is great. And then a child of God can only look back with deep amazement at all the goodness of the Lord. All these years, He kept me from my own foolishness. He saved me, He preserved me, He watched over me. So that you would say with Ralph Erskine, I'm forever a debtor to free grace. It's all free grace, and it's because of your head, Jesus Christ, who loves His people more than His people love Him. And let God's children, in the life they have, prepare themselves diligently for the great day that is to come, when they will be called up to be with Him forever. And then they will forever experience with unspeakable joy the greatness of the day of Jezreel. Amen.